and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you
test 2 3, test 2 3. You want to test this microphone too? Okay. Test 1 2. Test. Buckle my shoe. Shalom. This is Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome you, folks watching online today, or about to welcome the folks watching online today. We are preparing to welcome you. Shabbat shalom in the home. It is time to worship Adonai. Amen. Who's here to worship Adonai?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Where's my shofar blower? He's at home? Is he all right? Just didn't feel like coming? Yeah? Is everything okay? Tell him to blow it at home. Test 1 2. Buckle my shoe. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Joe. Welcome to Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And this is my lovely wife, Dawn. Yeehaw! And we're here to worship the Lord today. We are the only Messianic synagogue in the Tri-Cities area of Tennessee and Virginia and Eastern Kentucky, Southwest Virginia, West Virginia, and all the way to between Knoxville and Asheville and Charlotte. So come and join us. We welcome you. We are part of the MJA, the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, and the IAMCS, the International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues. We are the real deal. We've been here this is our 19th year, and we invite you to come and join us. So we're glad you're with us today as we worship the Lord. And we're going to go to the Lord's table a little bit later, so we please welcome you to prepare the elements to do that. And when we go to the Lord's table, and God bless you as you worship.
Shabbat shalom.
Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah because he is the Messiah. He is the King. Hallelujah. And we're here to worship him. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu edarech ha-yeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Oh, thank you. It's time for the Vishamru. Vishamru
Bnei Israel et HaShabbat Lasot et HaShabbat Ledorotam Barit Olam. Vishamru Bnei Israel et HaShabbat Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam. B'nei u-b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, hodhi li-olam. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam barit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, eshmayim v'et haaretz.
V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash, Shabbat V'Nafash.
V'Shamru V'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat, Lasod et HaShabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. Psalm 122, 6. Thank you, Lord. We do love Jerusalem. We love the city. We love the people. We love your people, Lord. And we thank you for that you bring shalom, the peace of the Messiah, to every heart in Israel and in the diaspora, in the exile. Lord, to every Jewish heart, Lord, that you reveal the Messiah to them, just as you revealed yourself to Jacob at Bethel, and you revealed yourself to Abraham at Haran and so many other places, Lord. Reveal yourself to your people Israel, that they would know that you are the living God, and not just make mention of you, but that they would know you. Lord, I pray for favor for the Messianic believers. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts and the doors for Aliyah, for the Messianic community, Lord, and Jew and non-Jew alike, Lord, that you would open the doors that no man can shut and shut the doors that no man can open. Father, I pray also for the Messianic leadership of our country here in America, and in around the world. Pray for our leaders, for their vision, that you would bring new vision, fresh vision, that you would bring fresh ideas and wisdom, that you would bring new direction and change, and that you would bring give us righteous leadership, Lord. May our leaders walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord, not for their own sake, but for your name's sake, leading us in truth and justice, Lord. And Father, I pray for the people, for your people Israel, Lord, that you open their eyes, remove the scales from their eyes, Lord. Pray for my mother, for Harriet. I pray, Lord, that you would open her eyes and my family and all the many, 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 many other Jewish people that that you long to save, Lord. As Paul said in Romans 11, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb
to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel
to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
For the Shema.
One of these days I'm going to have David come up and sing. But today I'll just have you carry the Torah. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinata ham levanecha ודיברת בהם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לתותפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך, ובשעריך.
The Lord is our God, the Lord is one.
Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
All right. Well, I'm going to have father and son today carry the Torah. And I'm going to ask Isaac if he'll open the ark for us. Dave, are you okay to carry it? Or would you rather open the ark and let the boys carry it? All right, we'll let the boys carry the Torah, and David, you open the ark. How's that? I get it. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yimloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned,
the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Oh, my God.
Shout to the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
Shout to the Lord because he's faithful.
Hallelujah.
Shout to the Lord because greater are they who are with you than greater than those who are with the enemy.
Amen.
Shout to the Lord for the victory.
Amen. Woo!
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Vai hiben so harom vayema Moshe kurna Adonai v'yefutsu oivecha v'yenusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion tetze Torah ki mitzion tetze Torah udavar Adonai mi'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Leopo Israel Bidu Shato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Adonai Amvora.
Baruch Adonai Amrach Lelam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Amrach Lelam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim. V'natan Lanu Et Torato.
Baruch Adonai Noten HaTorah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
I guess you can be seated. Okay, today is the final parashah that's in the book of Genesis. So it's chapters 47 through chapter 50. And we'll have the Torah class will meet next Shabbat, so we try to do a condensed version of the parashah this morning, just so move the service along. You know, it's called Vayichi, and it means Jacob. It's talking about Jacob and the fact that he lived 17 years in Egypt, and those a lot of people say were the best years of Jacob's life because he had his whole family with him, and the lost son of Joseph was there. You know, the Torah is eternal, and when you look at the book of Bereshit or the book of Genesis, you see that it represents life. It's about the beginning of the universe or of creation that God made. And this parashah ends, we find that the final patriarch passes away, and that is Jacob. He dies, but before he dies, he calls Joseph to him, and he asks him to bring his two sons. And if you know anything about the genealogy, that would have been Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the firstborn. But what Jacob was wanting to do, he wanted to bless these two sons. And the blessing that he placed upon them actually elevates them to enter into as sons of Jacob. So they're actually part of the tribes of Israel. When you look at the blessing, the fact that Jacob said, you know, it calls them his sons. So he puts them in there with the other 12 brothers. But he does something a little different with the blessing upon these two young men. Instead, normally the firstborn receives the largest blessing or the blessing of the firstborn. But when Jacob prays over them, he crosses his hands and his right hand goes upon the head of Ephraim. So Ephraim, even though he's not the firstborn, he receives that firstborn blessing from his grandfather Jacob. I think the blessing would tell us that Ephraim was to go out into the world and be an influence through the world and all those around him. So Jacob passes, and Joseph and the rest of the brothers, they take him back to the cave where the other patriarchs are buried, and that's the cave at Malpeka. But before Jacob dies, if you want to read that, I won't go over all the blessings, but in chapter 49, you can read the blessing that all of the sons received from their father Jacob. And I think Rabbi is going to preach on that today. I believe that's what his sermon's about. But it gives you sort of a foreshadow, a picture of what Israel is going to look like as she moves forward with this blessing. And of course, you can't pass up the fact that Judah was depicted as a lion, and when in his blessing he says, "The sepulcher shall not depart from Shiloh," and that's talking about the messianic Yeshua that was coming. So he then that blessing he gives us a shadow or a picture of Yeshua that's coming. And then, you know, as time goes, just to wind this down, you know, the Pharaoh switch and Joseph passes away, but he's not immediately buried in the land of Canaan, because he's buried there, or his remains are there in Egypt. And he asked them he knew that the Exodus was coming. He asked them to take him back to Canaan and bury him, and that comes many years later. But we see with Joseph's passing, there's a new Pharaoh, and the new Pharaoh doesn't know Joseph. And we see that the Israelites have become complacent living in Egypt, because there's a lot of stuff to eat. There's a lot of water, and they're sort of flourishing, they're growing, but the land, they're closing their eyes to what is going on. And we see with this new Pharaoh and the Israelites' complacency that they're no longer the choice people, because Joseph has passed, and the new Pharaoh is concerned because the Hebrews, God has blessed them, and they are growing greatly, and they become, as he says, they have become a great nation. So that's where I'm going to close the Torah today. But I just want to make this last comment. You know, the Torah is a witness of how we as a people should act and follow the Scriptures, and it helps us to increase our faith in the Heavenly Father. So Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher Shem Moshe, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Pianonai, Biyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. It's
to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everyone online and here in the house. Looks like we've got all a family today, and a few people, I guess, gone. It's just kind of a vacation time. Everybody's off for vacation and doing things with their families. So I know it's a kind of a transition season right now, but we do, and we We got a chance to go to Boston, visit Joe's family and his mom. And so we want to thank you for keeping the fire going here while we were gone. Amen. Amen. And we watched you online last week. It was awesome. Diane did a great job, and Amen. Everybody else who participated, Anthony and everybody in the back who ran the media. And we just thought that was did you guys like Rabbi Peter? That was something else. I was riveted to his message. It was it was an amazing story, huh?
Yes.
And I loved his accent.
It was
so Boston. I'm telling you.
You felt like you were right there, huh?
I felt like it was right there in Boston. I was in Messianic congregation in Boston.
Hallelujah. And then the week before, we were at the Southeast, MJA Southeast Conference, and Rabbi spoke at one of the seminars and talked about the last president of the United States, and he had a full house there. It was really a great message, and I was on the praise team. You guys missed it. I played clarinet the whole weekend for four services. I was in there with the band.
Let me just interrupt for a second. You know, sometimes, how many of you all are just like waiting for something in life, and you're waiting for it to happen, and it just isn't happening, you know, and you're waiting years, right? Raise your hand if it's you. You're waiting for it to happen. Dawn's been waiting. She's a professionally trained musician. I mean, she played for the University of Tennessee band. And she's been waiting for a chance to play with the praise team at a conference. And she's never been asked, never been invited. Until this year, she finally got an invitation to play the clarinet and at the Southeast Conference. It's taken 18 years. She's a professional, you know, UT band clarinetist. And and clarinet, if there's a Jewish instrument that ever was, it's the clarinet.
Yeah.
You know, and you would think in 18 years that she would be playing on the praise teams at these conferences, and if we had another piano, she'd be playing it here too. So if you play the piano, and you're a good you're a worshiper, come and play with us. And so anyway, it was a wonderful blessing to see her heart's desire, and for me to be able to watch that.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. So I just want to thank everyone for your work and service here. This is your congregation, not just ours. And the ministry that happens here is because of you, and because we can't do it all. We have to work together. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So, and I do want to welcome once again everyone online. If you're in this area, the Southwest Virginia area, East Tennessee area, please come and worship with us. Come out to the Shabbat service. We hope you're enjoying what we have today. And Rabbi will be bringing his message here in about a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. But if you're wanting a place where you can serve Israel, you have a call on your heart, feel like you're called to Israel, this is a place for you. You can do that. You don't have to move to Israel. You just need to come to the Messianic Congregation, Lion of Judah, Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation, right here in East Tennessee. And if you're Jewish and you're searching for something more, for meaning in the Torah, we invite you to come and worship with us. You don't have to know the Messiah to come. You just have to love God. And he will speak to you about the Messiah, if he is the true one or not. So we invite everyone to come, whether you're believers or not, please come and enjoy our fellowship with other Jewish people. And if you know the Lord, you're Jewish, this is a great place to live out your calling and being a part of a community. It's hard to follow the feasts and do Shabbat when you're not in a community. I found that when I was by myself trying to, when we were by ourselves, isolated, and we knew the Shabbat was, you know, true, and we were trying to follow those things, everybody else had plans for us on Saturday. But once we started the congregation and we had, services all day long, and we just couldn't do anything anymore. It changed. Everybody started to realize, you know, the bells are not available on Saturday. Isn't that right, Joe? So community is important because it helps us to stick together. It helps us to do the things God's calling us to do. It's important. Community is an important part of serving Israel, because Israel is all about community. It's not just about the individual relationship to God. It's about our corporate relationship and what we do together for God. So I want to encourage you, those who are Jewish and non-Jewish who have a calling to Israel, please come and support this work. Hallelujah. And that's really all the messages, little bites, sound bites I have, Rabbi. We had a synagogue meeting before we left, and I just wanted to just get our minds back to remind us about that. We talked about a lot of things, and we're going to be following up on those things that we talked about. We'll probably have another meeting soon to let you know. We are considering doing a Friday night service, and we have an opportunity. We're working with the Bill Christian and the New Life Baptist Church, and they're really wanting to do something with us. So we have to get together and make a plan, and it looks like that probably will happen, but we'll let you know when everything is firmed up. Okay, so it'll probably be, we're looking at a Friday night service, a joint service with them, probably at their place. So just keep that in your hat. And in all the other things, I just want to remind you about the children's program. We need some workers for the children's program, and we talked about that at the meeting, and I'll be following up on some of the things that we talked about there concerning the children's program. Okay? You know, our next feast is Purim, which is March 1st and 2nd. That's the we're celebrating the story of Esther, and so mark that on your calendar. I will probably have a special service that that weekend. And then Passover is March 30th. It starts March 30th, and our banquet is scheduled, I think, for the second weekend of Passover, which is April. But I'll double check, and I'll get the date for the Passover banquet, because we do have that date. All right? And I'll turn it back over to you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Robinson. Well, we had a wonderful trip. It was a nice trip. It was a difficult trip. My mom, you know, you all know my mom's in hospice, and she's amazing. She's 91 years old, and I just don't know how she does it. How she goes on from day to day, you know, as long as she has. You know, we've seen others pass quickly in our midst, in the past 6 months. I've done three funerals since the summer, and you know, so it's a miracle, but it's also difficult to watch when you're watching your parent come to end of life, and it's very difficult to, but she's still feisty. And she still likes to take me on and you know, point things out and argue with me. So that's a good sign. And our family, if you like to, you know, duke it out, that means everything's okay. That's the way my family operates. Right, Isaac? It means everything's healthy when they're duking it out, you know. Then we have the other side of the family that likes to, like, laugh and enjoy each other. So it's nice to have balance. And with that said, let's take our tithes and offerings this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you what is already yours. And we just thank you. We bless these gifts a hundredfold. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we pray that you would bless the gifts and bless the giver. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Pray and thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, your provision for us, Lord. Miraculously, supernaturally, how you take care of each one of us, our children, our families. You clothe us, you put a roof over our heads, you give us everything we need. Not everything we want necessarily, but everything we need. And we give you the praise. If you're watching online today and you'd like to participate in the offering, if you don't have a home congregation, you're welcome to be a part of this one. If you do have a home congregation, we encourage folks to support their home congregation with your tithes. But if you'd like to give an offering, you're welcome to do that online at the website where you are. You can do that. You can donate securely on PayPal. May God bless you as you give. And don't forget the spare change. I'm sorry. You know, we gave thousands of dollars, $5,000 this year. I don't know how many months, but we've raised $5,000 for the poor in Israel just in spare change offerings. It was given recently at the after the Paul Wilbur. We donated it. And our money was doubled. The money we raised at Paul Wilbur was doubled because we gave it in December. They had a matching gift challenge. So it was doubled. So whatever we gave, $6,000 or $7,000, was doubled, was matched. And we raised close to $14,000 for Israel. Praise God. So give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you for supporting that. Thank you for supporting Paul Wilbur. I hope you enjoyed it too.
And all our ways, may your name. comfort my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord my soul. Forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Blessed be His glorious name, His holy name.
Yeshua. Just put your heart up there to him today.
My soul longs to
sing to you, our King. Worthy, you alone are worthy. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King.
Holy is the Lord of glory. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. Worthy, you alone are worthy. We lift our voice and sing to you, our King. And with our voices aloud, come to sing it.
Been cold, and I know how Test 2, 3. Okay, there we go. We're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. And I'm going to ask Maria if she'd like to come and serve today. Would you like to come and serve? All right, hallelujah. And Amber, would you like to come and serve today? Come on. Hallelujah. If you're at home, we invite you to get yourself some matzah or crackers and some fruit of the vine, and you can join us. I'm going to bless the elements. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." We call it the cup of redemption. He said, "This cup is poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah. Your sins are forgiven. If you're in Yeshua, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And then he took the bread. He took the three pieces of bread, and the middle layer is called the afikomen. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If there's anybody here that does not know Yeshua as the Messiah, I think we all do, but if there's anyone that doesn't know him, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Just raise your hand if you don't know Yeshua today and you would like to invite him into your heart to be your Messiah. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you don't know Yeshua, is there anyone here? Hallelujah. Anyone that does not know the Messiah today? Thank you, Lord. He says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you, Lord. All right. And if you're watching today and you don't know Yeshua and you'd like to know who he is, all you have to do is ask him and just say, Lord God of Abraham, who is Yeshua? And if you'd like to invite him into your heart, you just have to ask him. Lord God of Abraham, I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and I'd like to invite him into my life to wash me and forgive my sins, cleanse me, give me a new heart. Write my name in your book of life, Lord. And all you have to do is ask him to do that, is to forgive you and to come dwell in you with his Holy Spirit. Ask Yeshua to come and live inside you and to be your Messiah. And he will. You just have to ask. If you don't know who he is, just say, "Lord God of Abraham, who is Yeshua? And if I need to know, please show me." And then wait and he'll show you. Praise God. All right, I'm going to turn it over to the ladies. Come as you're ready. And
beautify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Let me be as bold, pure.
I choose to be holy.
L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Bless the children at this time. So we invite the children to come forward, and parents and friends to gather around and surround our little ones.
May the Lord protect and defend you. May He always shield you from shame. May you come to be in Israel. Shining name. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us in Messiah's ways. God bless you and grant you long life. May God make you good husbands and wives.
May the joy of the Lord who cares for you. May the Lord protect.
We bless our children, Lord. We bless them, and we do not curse them. We thank you, Lord, for the children. We thank you, Lord, that you help us all to raise them up, train them up in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. We pray, Lord, that you would be preparing them for their destiny, their career, their work in life. Whatever it is they're meant to do, that you would even now train them. I heard Rabbi Peter talk about you've been dancing all your life till you got saved, and then, you know, he called on men to dance last week. And God's been preparing all of us, and He's preparing these children. He will prepare you for your what you're meant to do in life, and your everything you do will be training. When I was 15 years old, I picked up a guitar. And I read a book and learned some chords. And from that day forward, I learned how to play the guitar and then eventually the bass, and I've been doing it ever since in worship for the Lord after I met the Lord. So everything, he's used everything that I've ever learned, and he'll do that with you. I pray that the Lord prepares a mate for you, a helpmate for each one of you, and for the older kids too, for Chan and for Isaac and Dante and Ms. Xavier hiding back there. And even anyone else, that the Lord will prepare a helpmate for you in life, even now, getting them ready, getting you ready for that special day, and bring you that special person when the time is right. Hallelujah. I pray the Lord blesses you in class, anoints your teachers. Are we having class today, Dawn? Yeah, just okay. Well, may the Lord give you the word today, whether it's up here or downstairs. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you. Do you want me to turn the bass amp off? Did you grab me the coffee and the water there? I'm a sucker. Okay, well, before I begin, Isaac's setting up the live stream. Before I begin, I want to let people know that we have some calendars left, and these are beautiful, beautiful pictures of Israel. And on the other side, sweetheart, over there, please. Go. Beautiful pictures of Israel and with scriptures. How awesome is that? That's the Dead Sea. That is an awesome picture. And that's what it's like when you go there on a sunny day. It is glorious to see. Just don't dive in. But anyway, we have these beautiful calendars. They're $13. We have them. They make great, great holiday gifts. But it's New Year's is coming. The Gregorian New Year is coming in a couple days. And if you need a calendar, these are Jewish calendars that have January, February, March, April, May. They're 16-month calendars. But they also have the biblical feasts and the biblical months in them. They're $13 each, which is a great deal. It's $350 for shipping. If you want us to ship it to you, just contact our ministry. But you can get these calendars. Or you can stop by, call our office, and you can stop by and get one or two. And I use them to study with. I use them to work with. Also want to let you know we have a new newsletter out. If you're not on our mailing list, this one is called The Adoption of the Messiah, and it explains the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1 and the genealogy of Luke chapter 3, explains how the lineage of the Messiah, how he was fathered by the Holy Spirit, but yet it says he was a son of David, a son of Abraham, and Joseph wasn't his birth father. But he legally adopted him by marrying Mary, and this explains how the lineage of the Messiah was passed on, and how it explains the genealogies. It's kind of a neat subject, and the mystery of the law of Zelophehad. Say that three times fast. The mystery of the law of Zelophehad. Only I would come up with that, right? All right. So let's pray for the word of the Lord. We want to welcome folks on Facebook. Shalom. Glad you're with us today. Today's message is Jacob's prophecy and Jacob's blessing and Jacob's hope. Jacob's prophecy, Jacob's blessing, and Jacob's hope. And so we're going to talk about that. Genesis, so let's turn to Genesis 47 in your Bible. I got this really cool new Bible. Somebody bought it for me. I was at the Southeast Regional Conference, and a friend of mine and a friend of yours was at the conference, and he bought me this Complete Jewish Study Bible. It's brand new, and you all know about the Complete Jewish Bible. Now they have a study Bible, and so I'm using it today. And so I'm very excited to use my new Complete Jewish Study Bible that was given to me at the conference. Praise the Lord. Genesis, isn't it pretty? Amen. Get yourself one. You can get one at Letterer, Messianic Jewish Resources online, Messianic Jewish Resources. They have them. That's who publishes it, too. Actually, they put it out, but Messianic Jewish Resources or Letterer. All right, so let's look in Genesis 47. Now, I want you all to realize something as we begin this today, that when you encounter, do we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Just pray that you bring forth your word and that you open our ears and our hearts to receive your word today. And anoint me and empty me of Joe, Lord. Make me a vessel for your Ruach HaKodesh. Bind the strong man in the name of Yeshua. Bind the strong man and bring forth your message today now. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. What I want to say is that when you meet a person in the Bible, everybody's life, Jacob, we're going to talk about Jacob a lot today, but every person, Jacob, Abraham, David, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, whatever circumstance, Peter, James, John, Yeshua, their situation is always based, and whatever circumstance they're in or going through, you have to look at the total picture of where they came from and what they already knew. When they're making a decision to do something, and whether when they're making a choice, when they're making a major life decision, you have to realize that even though it doesn't say, well, yeah, Jacob knew what Abraham thought or what Abraham knew from God, that Jacob did know what Abraham knew. He knew the major things. That's how the word was passed on. And this is before Moses. Moses wrote these five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? Moses codified them. He put them together. But I don't think Moses wasn't there when Jacob was alive. So how did Moses get the story? Somebody else wrote it and gave it to Moses. Moses just put it all together, amen? Moses was like a gatherer. He gathered the word, he edited it, he put the book together, okay? He took Greg's life story and Bill's life story and Chan's life story, and he put them all together and in a way that people could understand it. Do you see that? Moses didn't come up with it. Somebody else had already written it. And if somebody else had already written it, that means that by the time Jacob was around, he had been hearing the stories from Isaac, from Abraham, from his mother, Rebekah. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Anthony. Praise the Lord. So let's read, with that in mind, let's read the beginning here. Yaakov, that's Hebrew for Jacob, lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Thus Yaakov lived to be 147 years old. The time came when Israel was approaching death, so he called for his son Joseph, or Yosef in Hebrew, and said to him, "If you truly love me, please put your hand under my thigh and pledge that out of consideration for me, you will not bury me in Egypt." That was the way when a man in the time of Abraham and Jacob, when a man made an oath to his father, that's the way he would do it. He'd put his hand down under his thigh, and he'd have to swear to him. There's some unusual customs in the Bible, but that was one of them. Anyway, it's true, and that's the way they did it. So if you truly love me, please put your hand under my thigh and pledge that out of consideration for me, you will not bury me in Egypt. Rather, when I sleep with my fathers, you are to carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. He replied, "I will do as you have said." He said, "Swear it to me." And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed down. And Israel bowed down. So Jacob placed his hand, his right hand. Joseph had to place his right hand and swear to Jacob that he would bury him in the land of Canaan, in the tombs of his fathers at Machpelah, in Shechem. Everybody say Shechem. Remember Shechem? That's where Dinah was raped. And that's where Simeon and Levi killed all the inhabitants of the city of Shechem. And they had to flee. The cave of Machpelah was in that area, right there in Shechem. Shechem's a very important area. Shechem is also where the woman at the well was. That's where Yeshua went. See, there was a curse there. You know, that's where the tombs of the patriarchs are, right there, in Hebron, in that area. And the tombs of the patriarchs are there, but there was a curse because Simeon and Levi killed the inhabitants of the land. Dinah was raped there, and terrible things happened in Shechem. But yet, Yeshua came years later and went to the well of Jacob. Remember? Jacob's well? At Shechem. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing done in the Bible that doesn't have a history to it. There's nothing done. So Yeshua goes back to the well of Jacob, and he meets this woman at the well and asks her for water. And she says, "Sir, you being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water? This is strange. You know, you normally wouldn't take anything from us." And he said, "Woman, if you knew who I was, you'd have asked me for water, and I'd have given you water for which you'd never thirst again." The Holy Spirit. Amen? And he read her mail, and she became a believer right there on the spot. He led her to himself. He led her to the Lord. He read her mail, prophesied to her. He gave her a word of knowledge. You had four husbands, and the man you're living with, you're not married to, and so forth. But Yeshua went to break the curse of Shechem. He went to break the curse on that land, which was so holy, where Jacob wanted to be buried, where Abraham was buried, where Isaac was buried, where Sarah and Rebecca are buried, and the tombs of the patriarchs, right there, in Shechem, and the cave of Machpelah. Yeshua went back there to Jacob's well to break the curse. Instead of killing the Gentiles, he saved them. He brought them salvation. Amen? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Okay, so why? This is Jacob's hope. I'm kind of starting it with the end of the message, but turn to John 8:56 for a minute. John 8:56. John 8:58 is my life verse. I was getting surgery many years ago. I was going in for surgery, and I was in the pre-op room, and they were about to sedate me. And one thing I don't like is to be sedated. Not only sedated, totally put under, you know, and asleep. And I was going in for surgery, and they were going to put me asleep, and I was a little bit nervous. And so I'm sitting there in the pre-op room, and I hear this loudspeaker, "Orderly John to room 858. Orderly John to room 858. And so I happened to have a little pocket Bible with me, and so I went to John, and I wondered if there was a verse 858, if there was John 8:58. So I looked, and there was. It's the last verse. It says, "Yeshua said to them, 'Yes, indeed, before Abraham came into being, I am.' At this, they picked up stones to throw at him." But the verse that really struck out to me that I felt God was saying to me was, "Joe, don't worry. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the God who was, I am the God who is, and I am the God who is to come." That means he was before us, he's with us, and he'll be with us to the end and after and beyond. He'll always be. Amen. And he was comforting me in that. "Don't worry, I got this. I was with Abraham, and I'm with you, Joe." Amen. All right, now let's go back to verse 56. In verse 56, it says, "Abraham, your father, was glad that he would see my day. Then he saw it and was overjoyed." That's Yeshua speaking. Yeshua said, "Abraham, your father, was glad that he would see my day. Then he saw it and was overjoyed." Abraham saw Yeshua. He saw the coming of the Messiah, and he believed. And it was credited to him as righteousness, the Bible tells us. Amen? It says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abraham, somehow, we look back at the cross. Abraham was looking ahead to the cross. And I believe Jacob was too. Jacob knew two things when he told his son Joseph to take his bones back to the tombs of the patriarchs. He knew two things. Number one, he knew that God told Abraham about the Exodus and the enslavement in Genesis 15. He knew that God had told Abraham that the children of Israel would be enslaved for 400 years. I believe that's in Genesis 15:13. "As the sun was about to set," verse 12 of chapter 15, "a deep sleep fell on Avram. Horror and great darkness came over him. Adonai said to Avram, 'Know this for certain, that your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs. They will be slaves and held in oppression there 400 years. But I will also judge that nation, the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards, they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age.'" He's talking to Abraham. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is, if it was passed down to Moses, hear me, if it was passed down to Moses that the children of Israel would be enslaved for 400 years, would come out with great riches, and that a deliverer would be raised up, and that God would judge the nation that enslaved them, if it was passed down to Moses, do you think Isaac and Jacob knew about it? Does that make sense? That the leaders of the people knew, that Isaac and Jacob knew, if Moses knew about it, hundreds of years later, 400 years later, do you think that the patriarchs knew that the children of Israel were going to be slaves in Egypt, and that they were going to come out with riches, and that God was going to judge Egypt? Praise God. I think he did. I think Jacob knew. Number two, if Abraham saw Yeshua's day and his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, if Abraham saw the coming of the Messiah and it was written in the scriptures, and Moses And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that it was Yeshua was the rock that they were drinking from in the wilderness. Corinthians tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10 says, and that rock was Yeshua the Messiah that they were drinking from. Do you think that Jacob knew? If Moses knew who Yeshua was and saw him face to face, saw him in the burning bush, who was it that wrestled with Jacob at Luz? They changed the name of it. What was the name of that place? Padanaram? Where did somebody look that up? Where Jacob wrestled with God? But Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And before that, he was at Bethel, and he had a dream. He saw this ladder, and he saw these angels going down. He said, surely God is in this place. And he said, if he knew God was in that place, he said, if you'll be my God, and if you'll bless me, and if you'll protect me, and if you'll bring me back to my land, to my father, I'll give you a tenth of all, he said to him. I'm paraphrasing. Well, by the time Jacob wrestled with the Lord, that's when he met the Lord. Amen? Can somebody look that up for me? Penuel, that's it. Penuel. I have seen the face of God. Peniam is the face. Penuel means the face of God, of El. So thank you very much. So Jacob wrestled at Penuel. And that's where he really met God. He encountered the Lord, and that's where he came to know God. Hallelujah. And he paid a price for it too. He was wounded in his hip, and he never walked right again after that. Okay. So Jacob knew two things. He knew that he requested that his bones be brought back. Why would he want to have his bones? Why would he care where his bones are? Why would you care if you're dead? You ever been to a funeral? I've preached a dozen or more funerals, okay? Thank God that's all I've preached. I know pastors have preached hundreds. But, you know, you sit there in the casket and there's nobody there. It's the casket's there, usually. Nowadays they're doing this. I want to tell you something about cremation. It's not Jewish. Cremation is not Jewish. And just to give you a point about that, the Holocaust. Hitler burned the Jews, crushed up their ashes and dispersed them so that there would be no record that they ever existed. So about the most un-Jewish thing you could do is cremate. But I would not, you know, I'm just letting you know that. God, there's no record. When you're cremated, they don't just burn you. They just grind you up. And that's it. And there's no evidence. God wants there to be evidence that you lived. You know that? God wants there to be evidence that you lived. In fact, it goes on. We're going to talk about it. Jacob was embalmed, and they embalmed him for 40 days. And then they mourned for him for 70 days. His body's probably still preserved somewhere in Israel. It's probably the Egyptians were very good embalmers. They've opened up some of the mummies and of the pharaohs and stuff, and they found, you know, they're still preserved after thousands of years, because, you know, there's evidence. When you go back hundreds or thousands of years later and find the evidence, you know, in Caesarea Philippi, they discovered, they didn't know if Pontius Pilate was really the governor of the Roman governor until they found his name inscribed on a 2,000-year-old stone in Caesarea Philippi, in Caesarea, where Peter went to meet the Roman centurion. You know, Peter went from Jaffa. He walked along the beach. The three men came to his house. He had the dream in Acts 10. And the sheet came down with the unclean animals. And he walked about 40 miles up the beach to Caesarea. It's all where Paul came and spoke to Felix and to Festus and to Herod, and he testified before Herod and Felix and Festus. Well, Pilate, they found a stone there. They had no evidence that Pilate really existed until they found a stone with his name on it about 20 years ago, 15 years ago at Caesarea. Praise God. In fact, they had no evidence that King David lived until this century. They had no evidence that King David was real until they found writings on stone talking about the King David. So don't ever underestimate the importance of your life and the value of your life. And I encourage you to get, you know, some of you are younger than I am, and if you're healthier, you can get burial insurance. And I recommend you do it and have a proper burial. I don't know what's going on in this world with this cremation thing. I'm seeing a whole lot of it, even in my family. A cousin that I went to his funeral several years ago, they were playing Simon and Garfunkel, and everybody's drinking and they're having a celebration of his life, and his ashes are sitting there on the table. It's weird. It's hard to do a funeral with a cookie jar. Okay, moving on. Jacob knew. He knew that he knew. If Moses knew Yeshua, if Abraham saw Yeshua and saw him, it says it, we read that in the New Testament, John 8:56, he saw his day and he was glad. Moses met Yeshua in the burning bush and several other times along the way. He went up on the mountain and was with Yeshua up on top of Mount Sinai. Just like, remember the glory on his face? Remember how Yeshua's face shone with glory when he was on the mountain with Peter and James and John? Remember how Yeshua's face was so bright they couldn't even look at it? Well, that's Moses was up there so long in the presence of the glory of God with Yeshua that his face was glowing too. Hallelujah. Why would a guy want to take his bones out of Egypt, where he's living peacefully with his people? His son's the prime minister. He's rich. He's already rich. His son's rich. He's got a big family. The Pharaoh's given him the best of the land of Egypt. Why on earth would he want to have his bones taken back to Canaan, to Israel? Because he knew that the Jews were going to be enslaved in Egypt. He knew that the governments were going to change. He knew he wanted to get out of there, that this wasn't his home, even though he was being blessed in Egypt. Jacob knew, Israel, Canaan is my home. I got to get out of here. Take me back to the burial place of my fathers, where the record can be, where they can find my tomb someday, and the promise of the 12, the promise of my sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, Judah, Naphtali, Zebulun, Dan, Asher, Gad, Manasseh, Levi, Simeon, Joseph, Benjamin, so on and so forth, Judah. Were my sons, who are going to be the 12 tribes, the nation of Israel, take me back to the land that God promised my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and bury me there. And not only that, when I rise from the dead, I'm going to rise in the Holy Land. When I rise, when I'm resurrected from the dead, I'm going to rise from the dead in the Holy Land. I'm going to rise from the dead in the land that God promised to my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Amen? Wouldn't you want to be buried there? I would. I would. Praise God. So that was Jacob's hope. So I began with the end of this message. Now let's go to chapter 48 in Genesis. A while later, someone told Joseph that his father was sick. He took with him two sons, this is great because it gives the Hebrew, Manasseh and Ephraim. Yaakov, that's Jacob, was told, "Here comes your son Yosef." Israel gathered his strength and sat up in bed. Yaakov said to Joseph, "El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God of Israel, appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, saying, 'I will make you fruitful and numerous.'" I think that's Penuel. "I will make of you a group of peoples, and I will give this land to your descendants to possess forever." It's the same promise that God gave to Abraham, that God gave to Isaac, and it's the same promise that God gives to you and me today. That if you, that's why you're here. God's chosen you to be connected to the Jewish people. Whether you're Jewish or not, God's chosen you to be connected to the Jewish people. That's the main reason you're here. He's chosen you to be connected, just like my wife left her people, like Ruth, and said, "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God, and where you go, I will go, and where you die, I will die." My wife has left her people and joined my people, just like Ruth, just like Rahab, just like Tamar. And that's what God is asking of you. That's why you're here. You may not know it, and it may take you a while. It may take you years to get it from your head to your heart. It took me years. I understand. But that's the main reason. "Here comes your son Joseph." And that's a blessing that God's called you here to join with his people Israel, to join with the 12 tribes of Israel. God's called you to be a part of it, of the real thing, not a fake thing, not people who just say they're Israel, but people who really to connect with the Jewish people for real. "El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, saying, 'I will make you fruitful and numerous. I will make you a group of peoples.'" Now, I promised I was going to show today, I was going to show you the church in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you the church. For those of you who've never seen this, I'm going to show you where the church is prophesied right here in this chapter. We're going to see the church. You see, if you're ever come from the church, or if you're in the church, if you're watching, I'm going to show you God. I believe God's prophesying the church right here. And watch, just listen, and we'll get to it. God said, he said, "I will make you fruitful and numerous. I will make you a group of peoples. I will give this land to your descendants to possess forever." He said to Jacob, "Now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt and are mine." Jacob said, that's a strange thing. Jacob said to Joseph, he said, "Your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are mine. I'm taking them from you." I mean, okay, gramps, you know, pops, you know, I know you like my boys, but you can't take them from me. But let's see what's going on here. "Your two sons who were born to you," verse 5, "in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be as much as mine as Reuben and Simeon are. The children born to you after them will be yours, but for purposes of inheritance, they are to be counted with their older brothers." What was he doing? God was giving Joseph a double portion. He was giving of the 12 tribes, instead of just giving Joseph a single portion, he took his two sons and made Ephraim and Manasseh equal to Zebulun, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Benjamin, Reuben, Judah. He made them equal, like brothers, and then he gave them a portion, an inheritance in the land of Israel. Pretty cool, huh? A double portion for Joseph, because he wanted to bless Joseph. But the children born to you after them will be yours, but for purposes of inheritance, they are to be counted with their older brothers. Now, as for me, when I came from Paddan Aram, Rachel died suddenly as we were traveling through the land of Canaan while we were still some distance from Ephrat, so I buried her there on the way to Ephrat, also known as Beit Lechem. Then Israel noticed Yosef's sons and asked, "Whose are these?" Yosef answered his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." Yaakov replied, "I want you to bring them here to me so that I can bless them." Now Israel's eyes were dim with age so that he could not see. Yosef brought his sons near to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see you, even you again, but God has allowed me to see your children too." Joseph brought them out from between his legs and prostrated himself on the ground. The kids were hiding. They were hugging his legs. They were scared in front of their grandfather. They were nervous. They were holding on just as Joseph brought him out from between his legs. I love it. And then Joseph took them both, and Ephraim in his right hand. Ephraim was the younger, so he put his right hand on Ephraim, and he put his left hand, he crossed his hands, he put his left hand on Manasseh toward Israel's right hand. And the younger one, Ephraim, had put his left hand on the head of Manasseh. He intentionally crossed his hands, everybody. What does this look like to you? Okay. He crossed his hands, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph, the God. Then he blessed Joseph, the God in whose presence my fathers Abraham and Isaac lived, the God who has been my own shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has rescued me from all harm. Bless these boys that they may remember who I am and what I stand for, and likewise my fathers Abraham and Isaac, who they were and who what they stood for, and may they grow into teeming multitudes in the earth. When Joseph saw that his father was laying his right hand on Ephraim's head, and it displeased him. Why? Why was Joseph displeased? Deuteronomy 21 tells us the blessing of the firstborn is a double portion. And he was putting his right hand, the hand of blessing, on the younger one. What's up with that? Same thing happened to Jacob and Esau. Who came out first? Esau. But Jacob got the blessing, right? Jacob got the double portion. What's God up to? His law. Even Joseph knew God's law. That the blessing, Joseph was upset. "No, my father." He says, verse 17, when Joseph saw that his father was laying his right hand on Ephraim's head, crossed his hands, it displeased him, and he lifted up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and place it instead on Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, "Don't do it that way, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head, Manasseh." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, too, will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he." Who's the younger brother of the Jewish people? Who are the younger brothers of the Jewish people, especially the Messianic Jews? The church. The church are the younger brothers. Who's more numerous than the Jewish people, than the Messianic Jews, the believing Jews? The church. What does Ephraim mean? Fruitful. God promised, "I will make you into a multitude of nations. I'll make you fruitful. Fruitful. I'll make you into a multitude of nations." What was he doing here? He wasn't saying that Ephraim was part of the church. He's prophesying. This is Jacob's prophecy. He's prophesying the coming of the church. Right there in Genesis. We've talked about this in John, where Yeshua said, "I have sheep from another fold that you know not of. and I must bring them too. And together you will be one flock with one shepherd. Yeshua was prophesying the church too. Hundreds and thousands of years later, 3,000 years later, Yeshua was prophesying the church. How awesome is that? Amen? He's prophesying. Yeshua prophesied. Jacob was prophesying it, that the church is going to come. He made a cross with his hands. It wasn't an accident that he did that. And he blessed Ephraim, whose name means fruitful, and said, I'm going to make this one more fruitful. What did he say to him? Ephraim. Hallelujah. Then verse 13, then Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left. And it says in verse 14, but Israel put out his right hand and laid it on the head of the younger one, Ephraim, and put his hand on his head. He intentionally crossed his hands, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph, the God in whose presence my fathers Abraham and Isaac live, the God who has been my own shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has rescued me from all harm. Bless these boys. May they remember who I am. And he said that he would bless Ephraim. He said, the younger will be greater, in verse 19. The younger will be greater, and his descendants will grow into many nations. Then he added this blessing on them that day. Israel will speak of you in their own blessings and saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Israel then said to Joseph, you see that I am dying, but God will be with you and will bring you back to the land of your ancestors. Moreover, I am giving you Shechem. Remember Shechem? Where the patriarchs are buried, where Dina was raped, Shechem, where Yeshua met the woman at the well. Shechem, that famous city, it was actually the first city where Abraham settled in the Promised Land. Did you know that? Shechem was the first place that Abraham went in the Promised Land. When he entered the land, the first place he settled was Shechem. Very, very famous area. It's actually mostly possessed by the Palestinians today. It's a dangerous place to go, but you can still visit there. It's just you got to go in an armored bus. It's dangerous. we've been there. We've been near there. We've been right near there. But why would he do that? Why would he bless? Why did he bless Jacob and not Esau? Why did he bless Ephraim? I mean, he blessed Esau too, but not as much as Jacob. Why did he bless Ephraim more than Manasseh? It's a reference to the Jewish people. I believe what he's doing here is a reference to the Jewish people. He's saying the older will be lesser than the younger. He's making a statement here. The older, the Israelites, will be lesser, a smaller in number than the nations. Amen. The nations will be greater in number and multitude than the Jewish people. Isn't that the truth? Do you know that the land of the Arabs of Ishmael, the land possessed by Esau and Ishmael that they inherited, is larger than the United States? You know, the land of the Arabs is larger in size than the United States and populated by over a billion people. Did you know that? We have 300 million, they have over a billion, maybe a billion and a half to 2 billion Arabs. And their territory is larger than the United States of America. That's the land that God gave to Ishmael and to Esau. And they can't give a little slice of it the size of New Jersey to the Jewish people. I'm so glad for what Nikki Haley did and President Trump. I just want to say, I'm so glad that President Trump declared Jerusalem the eternal capital of the Jewish people. I'm so glad that he's moving the embassy of the United States to Jerusalem, the city of our God, the city of the great King, the city of our Lord, the place where our Messiah, Zechariah 14, if you're a Christian and you don't understand this and you don't agree with why Donald Trump, this is not about a political thing, this is about a biblical thing, what he did, and that is by acknowledging that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people, the city founded by King David, where King David's tomb is, the city where King David brought the head of Goliath, the city of God, not the city of Allah. Yes, Muslims are welcome in Jerusalem and always have been, but it's not their city. It's the capital of the Jewish people and always will be. It will never be a two-state solution. There can never be a two-state solution. They have never been able to produce one because God gave the land to the Jews. And that needs to be said. And I'm so amazed at how Nikki Haley in the United Nations is she's so brave. And only 10 or 11 nations stood with her when about a week ago there was a vote and they rebuked the United States. Do you know, out of the last 91 or so, 92 United Nations rebukes. That's what they do, is they rebuke nations when they're mad and they don't like you, what you're doing or your behavior. Reprimand. They reprimand nations. Donald Trump and the United States were reprimanded. We who give 22% of the United Nations budget every year were reprimanded by the UN for proclaiming Jerusalem the eternal capital Jewish people. The UN reprimanded us, and Trump took $285 million off the table for the UN. I love it. Praise God. He said, "You know, you're going to reprimand us? Yeah, we're going to take $285 million of our support away from you. Eat dirt, UN." Hope they bulldoze it into the end of the East River. May it come swiftly. And in our day. Why is the world, it's Psalm 2 right now. Why is the world, why are the kings in an uproar in the nations? Guatemala, Israel, I read an article in the newspaper. Guatemala, Israel's new best friend. Guatemala voted to move their embassy. And they didn't vote against President Trump. Only 10 nations, Togo, the Marshall Islands, maybe three or four other islands in the Pacific, and Guatemala. And Togo is really small island in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific where they still go running around in little leather loincloths and go fishing, in these I like to go there, catamarans, whatever, they go out. Catch fish, drink from coconuts. It's kind of, I don't know, it sounds like it would be fun for a while. I could go for it. Togo voted for Israel. Praise the Lord. But Guatemala is Israel's new best friend. I think it's great. Praise God. We all have to go to Guatemala. Next year in Guatemala. All right. I want to tell you something else. Did you know that Job was a contemporary of Jacob? How many of you knew that? You ever wonder who Job was or when he lived? Raise your hand if you've ever wondered, where does Job come from? When did he live? I used to wonder, you know, who was he? Where did he live? Was he Jewish? What time did he live? Well, let me tell you. Job was a contemporary of Jacob. We know this because Job's friend Eliphaz the Temanite is mentioned in Genesis 36, 11. So if you go back here, we're in Genesis 48. Go back a few pages to Genesis 36. And you see the sons of Esau. This is the very verse 1. This is the genealogy of Esau. And if you go to verse 9, this is the genealogy of Esau, the father of Edom, the hill country of Seir. The names of Esau's sons were Eliphaz, son of Adah, the wife of Esau, and Reuel, the son of Basmat, the son of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman. Gee, that's Eliphaz the Temanite. Isn't that cool? He lived at the time of Jacob. And I was talking about the resurrection before. And Job knew there was going to be a resurrection. In Job 19, he says, Job knew, I don't think he was a Jew, but he knew there was going to be a resurrection. He was a righteous man. He knew God. And he lived in over there in the land of Esau, over in Jordan or Saudi Arabia or somewhere over there in that, you know, Ishmael, Esau part of the world, okay? Esau actually, Edom, where is Edom, Don? Is that Jordan? Jordan. He was over in the Jordanian, on the other side of the Jordan River where the Arabs live. That's where Job lived. And it says, even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. Job prophesied the resurrection in the very time of Jacob. Who are we to think that Jacob didn't know there's going to be a resurrection of the dead? Hallelujah. Is that awesome? If Job knew, not even being a Jew, living in the land of Esau, the son of Esau, a relative of Jacob, a nephew of Jacob. You know, Eliphaz the Temanite was Jacob's nephew, and Job was his buddy, and Job believed in the resurrection. I don't know if Eliphaz did, but Job did. And we know where Eliphaz came from and when he lived. How awesome is that? So that's Jacob's hope, the resurrection of the dead. And we talked about Jacob's prophecy, the church, right? Jacob prophesied that the church would come, and he crossed his hands intentionally so that Christians one day would see the cross. Amen? You following me? Isn't that awesome that in Genesis, God prophesied the coming of the church? It's incredible, you know? Okay, and let's conclude with the last thing was Jacob's blessing. And chapter 49 says, then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather yourselves together and I will tell you what will happen to you in the Acharit Hayamim, in the last days. Assemble yourselves and listen, sons of Jacob. Pay attention to Israel, your father. And he blessed, he says, Reuben, you are my firstborn. He actually gave the ones who weren't as blessed the first blessings, and then he went on, his blessings improved. He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, the fruits of my manhood. Though superior in vigor and power, you are unstable as water, so your superiority will end, because you climbed into your father's bed and defiled it. He climbed onto my concubine's couch. So he cursed Reuben and he took away firstborn status from him. Secondly, Shimon, everybody say Shimon. Did you know that Peter's name was Shimon? Simeon in English, Simeon. Remember, Simeon was the guy who met Yeshua at the temple when he was a little baby. And when Simeon saw Yeshua, he knew that he could die because he had seen the Messiah. That's same name as Peter, Simon Peter, Simon. All right. and Levi are brothers related by weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Why did he say that? Let my honor not be connected with their people, for in their anger they killed men, and in their whim they maimed cattle. Cursed be their anger, for in their fury, for it has been cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. What's he saying? Because they killed the men of Shechem for raping Dinah when the men of Shechem wanted to make right and make peace for the crime and make restitution and marry Dinah. The son of Hamor, Shechem, wanted to marry Dinah and make it right. Simeon and Levi went into the town and killed them, all the men and everybody. Then this is the greatest blessing of all right here. Judah, your brothers will acknowledge you, and your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. My son, you stand over the prey. He crouches down and stretches like a lion, like a lioness. Who dares to provoke him? The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his legs. That's until Shiloh comes, to whom the obedience belongs, and it is he who the peoples will obey, tying his donkey to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice grapevine. He washes his clothes in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. What's he saying? He's saying that the king, the Messiah, this is one of the earliest messianic prophecies. And even the rabbis recognize this as a messianic prophecy. Even the unbelieving rabbis recognize this scripture, and that Shiloh is the Messiah. And until Shiloh comes, the one to whom the scepter belongs, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Yeshua, until the Messiah comes, the one to whom it belongs. And it talks about in Revelation about Yeshua treading the winepress of his wrath and the blood staining his garments. And it's right here. It's prophesying. It's mentioning it right here. So it's talking. He prophesied. Jacob prophesied the Messiah. But what's Jacob doing here? Then he says, Zebulun will live as the seashore with ships anchoring along his coast and his border at Sidon up near Lebanon. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down in the sheep sheds. On seeing how good is settled life and how pleasant the country, he will bend his back to the burden and submit to forced labor. Dan will judge his people. As one of the tribes of Israel, Dan will be a viper on the road, a horned snake in the path that bites the horse's heels, so its rider falls off backward. I will wait for your deliverance, Adonai. Okay, so this is the third part of my message, Jacob's blessing. And Jacob is blessing his sons. He's come to the end of his life. He's had a hard life. Jacob's had a hard life. He suffered. His sons committed treachery. They sold their brother Joseph into slavery. They lied to their father. They brought grief and sorrow on their father. And they brought great trouble and hardship on their father. And it was not an easy family to live in, Jacob's family. Jacob labored 20 years under Laban. He labored 7 years for Rachel and 7 years for Leah. And then he stayed another 6 years before he left. He fought with Laban. He argued over his income, over his salary. He had to fight for a salary. Would you say Jacob had an easy life? Amen? No, he didn't. But at the end of his life, it was sweet. He didn't think he was ever going to see Joseph again. And lo and behold, he not only sees him, he sees his sons and he blesses them. And he sees, and by the time he gets to Egypt, all the sons had repented. They had all humbled themselves and become mature men. And you know, I knew a family one time where it had a lot of children. And the mother used to have a lot of angst about her children because they were wild. The mother had a lot of angst about her children because her children were wild. And the Lord told me, tell her she's Jacob. Tell her she's Jacob. She prayed and prayed for her kids, and her kids would get in trouble with the law. They'd get in trouble with drugs. They'd get in trouble with social services. They'd get in trouble with the police. I can't even tell you all the things that went on. Children out of wedlock, adultery. I mean, what a mess. And this woman prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed for her kids, and she preached to her kids, and she preached, and she preached, and she preached. And I said, honey, stop preaching. They've heard it all. They don't want to hear it anymore. They've heard it. They know the message. When they're ready to follow God, they will. But they're going to find out the hard way, just like Jacob's sons. And you know what? Some of us may have children that choose, they can learn from our mistakes. Amen? Children, you can learn from your parents' mistakes, or you can make your own. Listen to me. Children, you can learn from your parents' mistakes, or you can make your own in life. But I promise you this, praying mothers and fathers, we pray and we bless our children every week. Recently, I received word and pictures from someone who was with us for 12 years, and one child went off to college, is doing well in college, very like an Ivy League school in Maine. The other child is a law student, doing very well at law school. I can't remember where. Very good law school. Both children doing very well, following the Lord, hungry for God, serving God. I'm proud. Even though they left us 5 years ago, 7 years ago, I'm proud to know, I believe that we played a part in their development. And those kids, those 12 kids, that I don't know if there were 12 of them, I told you about the mother, you know, many of them have turned around their lives. One of them is a policeman. He's raising a family. I prayed for him when he went through a windshield. He actually was ejected in a car accident and went through the window, the side window of the car, landed in a tree with his head like squash, and they found him dead hanging in a tree. The Bible says, cursed is a man who's found hanging in a tree. And they resuscitated him, and they took him to surgery. They didn't expect him to live, and they said if he lives, he'll be a vegetable. They took a staple gun. They stapled his head together, and they put plates, steel plates, to fix his skull. And he was in a coma, and I was called to the hospital, and I prayed, and I anointed him. And I spent several days and nights at the hospital with the mother and the family. And on about the second or third day, the mother said to him, son, if you know who I am, squeeze my hand. They said he'd be a vegetable. On about the second or third day in the hospital, he squeezed her hand. By about the fifth day, he was watching TV. And by about the sixth or seventh day, he was putting his feet over the side of bed and getting up and going to the bathroom. They found him medically dead in a tree with his head like jelly, and God brought him back to life. Amen. Today he's a police officer. He's a sheriff in Virginia, and he's got a family, and his siblings are doing better. Each one is coming into their own in life. And I told the mother years ago, you're Jacob. I want to let me encourage you today as we conclude that you may have to go through some waters. You may have to go through some trials with your family, whether it's your parents or your mother, whether it's your sisters or your brother, or whether it's your children. You may have to go through some muck But if you pray vigilantly, earnestly, and we pray every week, and we pray Wednesdays, and we pray other, Dawn and I pray all the time for the kids. We're always praying for your children. It's going to be all right. They're going to turn out well. Amen? It says in Isaiah 54, this word, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The word that is in your mouth will not depart from your children or your children's children from this time forth forevermore. Hallelujah. And that is God's promise and his blessing for you. Let's rise and I'll give you the blessing of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how he shall put my blessing on the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha Vayesem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.